Let's open our Bibles again to Romans chapter 8. We're going on in these magnificences in this precious chapter. And God willing, I believe, if the Lord tarry, there'll be one more on this series next Wednesday. And the Lord's been dealing with my heart about our next study. And I'm very excited about that as well, too. But we got this one tonight. Praise the Lord. The much, the more just keeps rolling on, doesn't it? Praise his name. But I think about these studies, and especially as we go from study to study, we had a precious time last Wednesday, and I thank God how he launched us into those five superlative, those heights of those rhetorical questions. And it begins there in verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? I love that. If God be for us, who can be against us? And then here comes the next one. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It just is rampant and rampant and rampant. And now here's number four. Who is he that condemneth? And we know what that, the answer to that is, no one. No one. Not us. Not us in Christ. But yet it tells us here is all the power. And we're going to talk about the great judge tonight as well too. It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, I thank God the assurance that the Lord gives us always of his complete victory, complete, and that it is done. And it's all in our precious Savior who died and rose again and is risen. And I thank God that all authority has been given unto him. He is at the right hand of the Father, it just not yet, but it's done. The word of God tells us that. When he cried out, brothers and sisters, on that cross, it is finished. It sure was. And it sure is. And I thank the Lord that it's done. And I thank God it was once for all. I thank God that the word, especially through the Apostle Paul, it tells us to go on from the foundation that's laid. Amen. And that's very important. And we thank the Lord. We gather on Sundays, on the first Sunday of every month, but I know it's every day we thank the Lord and we have our communion that we do this in remembrance of him. The great sacrifice, the once for all, hallelujah. He nailed those ordinances and that law that was against us to the cross. Praise the Lord, he took upon him all of our sin. He was made sin for us, praise be to God. And in that precious, wonderful death, we have died with him and we've risen with him and we're seated with him. And soon, praise God, we're going to be face to face with him. Now, how did that all occur? Right there. It's Christ who died and rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now, with these superlatives that we're reading of here right now, these rhetorical questions that we know, it's vital for us. It's vital for every Christian. But here we are tonight, and this is to us. It's imperative that we take and lay hold of this, because this is what all grace is. You just know. You thank the Lord. The answers to those questions are very obvious. We're thankful to God. But this all grace, brothers and sisters, don't take it lightly. This is the requirement to win. The requirement is all grace if we're going to share the throne and glory throughout eternity with him as his readied wife. The word of God encourages us that we must know. But it's not just to know, it's to believe. And then it's not just to believe, it's to stand. And it's not just to stand, it's to remain. and unmoved. Hallelujah. That nothing can be against us, that Christ freely gave us all things, and that there is no charge or judgment against the sons of God. Period. And I thank the Lord for that. Think of those things again that were just said. Nothing can be against us. Nothing. And how quickly we can think everything can be against us. Amen? He's against me. She's against me. That's against me. The system's against me. All this is against me. No, it isn't. If he be for me. And we know the answer to that. He is. Completely. He showed us completely. Praise be to God. And we thank the Lord that, yes, he proved it on the cross for us. And wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, beyond what we could even express. But then, as he takes us as his own, and in that wonderful new life that comes to live in us, then we grow up into what not only was done and finished on the cross, but the whole plan of God from beginning. Now when we start to know the intimacy of who we are to him and what we are in Christ from the foundation of the world, that just takes it to a whole different level. It does, doesn't it? That everything, time, let's remember everything we've studied, saints. I'm serious, really. Don't let these things slip. This is why we're reminded about this. All things are for your sakes. All things are yours. And we see that that was all set up in beginning. He saw us in love before the foundation of the world. We saw that all of these things, creation itself, and all of these things came forth after the fact. After the fact of the election of grace, everything came forth. It was for the plan of God. It was for the divine purpose and the good pleasure of his will. Everything came forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have that. And then we hear this under the power of the Holy Ghost, which is Romans 8, is everything about it. Now we're encouraged because we know that love, we know that care, we know the intimacy of what God has for us. And then we really step into the belief, if he be for us, he is for me, and nothing can be against me. He withholds nothing good from our lives. I'm getting that more and more all the time, that he does work everything together for my good. That thanks be to God that, Lord, you drew my life before a star was set in heaven. All of the good before ordained good works, I'm walking through them. You're walking through them. You're listening. You're hearing this because this is yours. This is yours. And we read and we've studied and we thank God that we believe and we stand and we know that whom he foreknew, he predestinated. God predestinated your life. God predestinated your life. He didn't just say, well, you know, he really thought a lot of you and predestined in this, whatever. You know what he predestinated you for. And he told you that back in verse 17, that a child of God is an heir of God and joint heirs together. If so be, we suffer together with Jesus Christ that we might be glorified together with him. That's what you're predestinated for. And if God predestinates you for something, if he's called you to it, and he's justified you in it, and he's glorified you in it, what hasn't he done? And then, as the word really saturates in us, and we saturate in the word of God, we begin to see ourselves alive in the word of God. And the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, the Lord's not just going out there willy-nilly and, you know, well, let's see who. And he knows. He knows exactly. He knows you by name. He knew you in the womb. He knew you before the foundation of the world. He placed Noah right there at the time of the ark. It's Noah. He took Rebekah. That was the only one that was going to be at that well. It's exact with God. It's perfect with God. He's the God of foreknowledge. He's the God of predestination. Do you understand that? Whether it's the wicked or whether it's his saints of glory. Whether it's in the innumerable multitude or whether it's praise be to God. And I believe him for it. I believe him for it. I believe him for it for us. Amen. That it's the midst of the throne glory with him. I am assured by grace in his grace, in the power of his grace. And I understand this, not as though I've already apprehended. I get that. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not doubting that it will be apprehended. The manifestation of it will come forth. Do you understand that, right? And that's why I say, thanks be to God. Be assured in what his calling and his work is in our lives. That doesn't mean we just kick back and relax. Oh, no. See, you've got, and I appreciated Brother Golden saying that time. You have a knower. It's so deep in your heart that you know this. God gave it to you. And you're appreciated of it. He didn't, let me tell you something. The bride appreciates that calling. She's not complacent. She's not lazy. See, Vashti, she didn't want that. God knew she wouldn't take it. And that's the representation of it. That's one that's fallen out of love. But Esther wasn't fallen out of love. Oh, no, 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 no. No, it's Esther. She's the one. She's always been the one. And thank the Lord. That's why the feast was made for her. That's why the crown was set upon her head. Amen. Let's believe him tonight. So, we thank the Lord that these things are so because we know the love of Christ. See, knowing all these things of what he's done and what he's planned and the purpose, that's why Paul's gospel is so important. It's everything. It's everything for those that will be in love with him. It's everything to us. That's why someone like David could say, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." He truly was the type of the Apostle Paul with that message of grace and glory and love beyond of the Old Testament. It was to the height of what it could be. He was the man after God's own heart. He took everything that God had offered at that time. By the grace of God, that's our example for us to take everything that the Lord is offering at this time. And the Lord has put it in us, just like he put it in David. He put that heart in David. He put the heart in David. He gave him that new heart. Amen, he did. He gave you this heart for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be confident in the Lord. And then knowing that he freely gave us everything. Everything. And we know this. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There's nothing lacking. There's nothing that's not been given to us. The birth that we're given in him is just like him. We're born Lord of all. We're born to reign. And not just reign, but over all of it. How much more specific does it need to be? It wasn't like, you know, you get a district or you get a little bit of this. It's of all because it's with him. It's jointly. It's together. And it goes on and on and on. And that's why we know that, well, then there's no charge because I have his life. Now are we the sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. And as wonderful as it is speaking with John about his children and watching them grow up and watching his son go off to college and he's ready. And he'll have bumps as we talked about and things. But you see the man of God coming forth that the Lord prepared him for this. That's a glory for a parent, watching your child grow up. Amen? Amen? And none of our kids, nor us, all grew up perfectly, making the right decision all the time. Matter of fact, it was a series of bad choices. It was. But it was all over the hand of grace. And the response, that's what's so beautiful. The response, the grace of God that's with me, the grace of God that's with me. All right. So when Christ died and rose and ascended, finished, and all power was sent to us, he sent us the Holy Ghost. That's what's so wonderful. See, we're speaking of things that Daniel wrote about, that all of those prophets wrote of. They wanted to look into. The angels wanted to see it. But they wrote it for us. And here we are because of what the Lord finished. and where the Lord ascended to and why he ascended to the right hand of the Father was to send this guide, comforter, spirit of truth, the love shed abroad into us, not just to us, but he's been with you and shall be in you. Now, in that, how much can we say together? He has freely given us all things. And how much can we say together? He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. But, brothers and sisters, we need to know this. You can have something, but yet know nothing about it. Brother Hill used to talk about know your birthright. And it's the truth. This is the same birthright to every child of God. Every child of God. God's not a respecter of person. Every child of God is born with that same life of Lord of all. But brothers and sisters, we can have all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, but without the knowledge of it, without the love and appreciation of it, what does it profit someone? Brother Hill would also speak of that woman that had the millions of dollars, stuck it in jars and all of these things. And she ate dog food. She never used it, never went to give a dollar for anything. It was wasted. God help us not to waste this. Invest and invest the more. Step out into more grace. And brothers and sisters, it's only the mature sons, because that's what Romans, and this is what we've been hitting on from the very beginning. This is speaking of. We hit it in Romans 14. It said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. And see, I pray that we really see this, that he is for us, and we are of the Spirit. We are not of the flesh. But you have to know it. You have to understand and know the natures. And you have to understand and know the old man is dead. 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 You are nothing but brand new. You're nothing, praise God, but of the Spirit. And that's the truth. But see, you have to know it, or you can be You can be ignorant to it. You can be tricked by it. And tricked can be a lot of different ways. You can be fearful. You can be legal. You can be bitter. You can be jealous. You can be a lot of different things in this. But I'll tell you what, we go out in the grace of God, and it's like, Lord, thank you. Thank you for keeping me from this. We don't have time for this. This is the time of love. Have you read that about in Isaiah? He visited you. He visited you in the time of love. Oh, gosh. People that don't see what a lover our Jesus is, you're missing it all. You are missing it all. So we need to enjoy this. I don't want to be a little child. I don't want to be a bitter child. I want to grow up fully in knowledge and faith. And I'll tell you, real thankfulness of this super grace of God. I don't want to remain a servant because of my unbelief. I want to believe the word of God that it is all for me. Thank the Lord that, you know what? I'm just telling you, it's just the grace of God that's with us, saints. We met him at the well. Praise God. Just be bold in grace. Amen. Be bold in grace. It's not cocky in grace or anything like that. You know, people try to twist it and different things like that. And I know that's not even flesh and blood. That's just spiritual wickedness. But don't ever be afraid of it. Launch out more in it. Get more lovely in it. You'll be glad you did. Now, in verse 34 here, where we're at, Christ's authority in his finished work is all pleasing to the Father. Everything that Christ has done is everything you need. It's all there. He pleased him fully. And you receive that. Isn't that something? We didn't deserve it, but we receive everything that pleases the Father that's in the Son. I sit there and I do. I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. But I do know that everything that pleases the Father in Jesus is how he sees me and is in me. That's how he receives me. It's the truth. That's all the Father can see. And that's why the Father can't withhold these things. That's why the Father freely gives us all things, because he gave us his Son. And his Son, praise God, being at his right hand, that's all the Father's seeing. And the intercession. And just like the intercession there in John of the Father and Jesus having that wonderful conversation. Oh, Father, thank you for giving them to me. I pray for those that you've given me, not for the world, but for those you've given me. And I sure love you, Father, and you love me, and that we love them. And Lord, let them love one another as I've loved them and you've loved me. That's how you know. That's how you know. Are you growing up? That's how you know. So, it's a beautiful thing that our wonderful Lamb, our precious Jesus, makes intercession for us continually. So in that, I thank God that there is now no condemnation. And then he reminds us again that no one can condemn us. There is this real emphasis about how free indeed, how beautiful we are to God. It's a theme. It's a power. It's a fact. And it's our reality. Amen. The Shulamite had to grow to the point, and she had to hear the love of the king to her, the bridegroom, and had to hear it over and over to give her that confidence. But she does finally say, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I'm beautiful to him. And she's not saying that being arrogant, but she knows her beauty. And she knows where it has come from. So the praise of his desire to her is truly all because of his work. Amen? But she knows. She doesn't doubt it. And there's such a strength in that. It is. She is secure. I love that, brother. She's confident. She doesn't doubt what his grace has transformed her to be for him. The purpose of it. And it's so beautiful because she realizes that he needs her just like she needs him. It's mutual. That's why the throne is mutual. That's why the glory is mutual. It's all because of this grace that is so outstanding. Let's not miss it one bit. But what's so incredible as well here, as you think about this, Jesus is the great judge. Isn't that something? He's the judge at the great white throne. He's going to condemn everything that's not cleansed in his blood. Condemned already, matter of fact. But you know what? He's the Savior of an unmerited love, that even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, he died for us. That's what's so incredible. But it's that love that brings us to the fifth. Isn't that beautiful? The fifth superlative, and there's five of them, that magnifying grace, rhetorical question, and the sum of all this grace right there in verse 35. So you have all this. Now here it just goes. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Huh? And we know the answer to that. No one, nothing, no way. Amen? We're going to see the depth of that here in just a minute. But we're going to wait till the end, because I know you're going to need time to just go praise the Lord in the parking lot. And I mean that. But aren't we glad we know and we believe and we stand and we remain and we abide and we rejoice in the promise of his undying love for us? Praise the Lord. And we know that love, and we know the depth and the length and the breadth and the height. We know that love. Amen, we do. And we're speaking again of the love that has been brought to us through this Romans chapter 8, and especially there in verse 17. The great love of jointly reigning, the great love of sunkleronimous love as a husband and wife love, the great love of glorified together, exalted to the same glory with me. That love, and that's love. The same. There's no difference. It's the same. He doesn't withhold a thing. It's freely given, everything of his. But see, that's what a husband does with a wife. That's the unity. That's the bond of perfectness. It's one. There's not a mine in yours. It's ours. It's ours shared. He's our glory, but the woman is the glory of man. It's reciprocal. And I thank the Lord that we know that. I thank the Lord, and I appreciate this in marriage. If marriage magnifies anything, it's equality. It really does. It magnifies equality. One spouse doesn't feel superior to the other or insignificant or less than the other. No. You're magnified together. That you could never be, it just could never be without the two being made one. It couldn't. And Jesus tells us that. That's why he's at that right hand. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. That's why he's waiting, will not take the throne as God until he has his glory. Until he has his glory. He must be complete. He must be complete. And he is not complete without his wife. The marriage is going to come home. She's here. She's ready. And she's about to arrive home. Now, we thank God. We believe him. And how beautiful, and we've heard this before, we began Romans 8 with no condemnation. And now we move that there's no separation. Isn't that glorious? We love that. We begin Romans 8 that we know he'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. But now we arrive at he also will never leave in the great love that's for us. He never moves from that love. He's always consistent. He's always passionate. He's abiding as that great lover always. And I love it. What God has joined, let no man put asunder. Who shall separate us from the love of God? It's not what, it's who. What God has joined, let no man put asunder. I want you to think about this, because we're coming to it. It goes immediately to very specific things here in verse 35. Some very deep, deep things that would wipe any of us out. That you know that we think but for God would separate us from his love. So many Christians live in this fear because so many Christians do not know the perfect love, the fullness of the love of the bridegroom Jesus Christ. Shall tribulation? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're completely weak. We're like worthless. We have no defense. We have nothing to offer. We're defeated on every front. What good are we? But God. Amen. And his love. That's why we're going to hit, we're more than conquerors here. More than. more than. Because it's the power of the love of Christ. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the resurrection power of Jesus to know him in that, and we do. That's the power that's been given to us. Now, it gets right to the most desolate of events. How could we ever think that he could still stay in love, or we haven't separated ourselves from it? This is testing like a Job or a Paul in a prison. But even those things, praise be to God, it not only does it not separate us from the love of God, it draws us more into the love of Christ. Now here is the glory to glory. Here is what God has joined, let no man put asunder. And here, oh, I just thank the Lord, the glory to glory. See that word, who shall separate? That word separate is far more than you think. The definition of that word is to leave as a spouse or divorce. That's what that means. What shall separate? What shall cause us to leave as a spouse or divorce from the love of Christ? Nothing. Why? Because this whole chapter 8 has spoken of and speaks to the bride for the Lamb of God. This whole thing, praise the Lord, turned completely around, especially at verse 17, joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. That's the love he's speaking of. What shall divorce us from that?
Not a thing.
And why? Because we have the assurance of whom he foreknew. Amen? Now, brothers and sisters, I am with you. My heart hurts. I think about the church of Ephesus. I understand what that says. I have one thing against thee. You've left your first love. I do not believe we're of that church. I do not. I do not. I believe in the power of his grace. I'm believing in him and his mercy. I'm believing in him and his revelation that whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. And I do not believe he's predestinated us with the glory and the grace and the grace and the glory that is poured forth and continues to pour forth in this place. That I believe we are in that verse 35 to the extent and the height of the love of separate love, which means we will not be divorced from him. We will not be separated from the marriage of the Lamb love because of his keeping, because of his promise, because, praise God, of his assurance. He will perform. He will accomplish. He will perfect. I believe the Lord. Thank God I do believe the Lord. Now, aren't you thankful that he cannot deny himself? That his promises are yea and amen, that his word is tried 7 times. The word of God. Why does he say those things to us? He didn't have to in a way because he's God, but he does because he's the God of love. And he's the God of passion, and he's the God of this passion, and the God of grace that has given such immense assurance of all grace. What can't all grace do? What can't it do? Amen. It always is exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. I think stupid things, but it's above my stupid thoughts. I thank God that when this mind begins to go, his grace brings his mind that begins to reign. Whom he foreknew. And he predestinated you, and he called you, and he justified you, and he glorified you. And you sit here and you just say, Lord, just continue to increase my faith. don't let me have a hard time believing any of the Word of God. That's the problem, isn't it? It's we only think God can do so much. We think God, you know, does all of these things and then, he just can't get us over that one. I mean, for Sunday, I've just been thinking again so much about those children in the wilderness, taken out of Egypt, shown the mighty hand of God. For 400 years, it was prophesied to them, I'm going to bring you out. They knew it. They did. They heard these things. They knew it. And his word was true, and it brought them out. He showed them. But there was more to that than just bringing them out. It's just like us with salvation. It's the beginning. There's more. And he tells us there's more. Amen? And he brought them out, and what he began to show them, I'm your keeper. I'm bringing you out. And I know your nature, you want to go back. Just because it's comforting to you somehow, or it's what you think is your comfort zone, or what you know. Mm-mm. I got to take you out into something that you've never seen. That you're going to venture into ground that you know can't sustain you, but I'm God. And I'm going to take you through things, and I'm going to bring you to the brink. But all along, I'm taking you one place, if you'll believe me. He brought them all out there to prove them. Proving them. He did. He's not a respecter of person. But it's, how do we respond? Amen? And brothers and sisters, you know, kind of like we started with here just a little bit ago. You know, you're on the camel. You're on the camel. You're on the camel. You ain't coming on Wednesday nights if you ain't on the camel. I'm confident. Be confident. Be confident where it's taking you. Where it's taking you, where the Holy Ghost is leading you. You know what the Bible says to abstain from foolish questions? Quit asking them. Quit asking him how. Quit asking how. Just thank him. Be bold. Even when your eyes are telling you one thing. Thank him where you're going. Thank him where we're ending up. I'm on the camel. You know why you know you're on the camel? Because this is the camel message. This is the Spirit and what he tells the wife on the journey to the camel. Do you know that? I just hear that all the time. I know you hear that all the time. There is no other gospel. Not if you're sitting on the camel. There is none. This is it. Trust where the camel is taking you. Amen? All right. I think that's enough for tonight. God willing, we'll conclude it. Maybe the Lord will conclude this. Before next Wednesday is great, but Wednesday will do just fine. Amen. Sure love you. Love how he gets us in tune. And I thank God we're there. By the grace of God, let's just stay there. Amen. Praise his name. All right, let's stand, be dismissed.